If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 23, is where we're going to be in the reading of God's Word this morning. It's not my words, it's what thus saith the Word of God. Now, I'm not here for formality this morning. I'm not here to preach for 30 minutes and us go and eat lunch and say we went to church today. I've come to meet with the Lord. Amen. Amen. And if he'll show up, I'll stay as long as he'll be here. Amen. I said, I'll be here as long as he will. Amen. If you get tired, I like to tell you to go to the house. I'm going to stay here with the Lord until he gets done. Amen. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word here in Luke chapter 23, breaking in at the 33rd verse. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Listen to what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the Bible goes on to say that they parted his raiments and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, which means to threaten him, ridicule him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocking him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And another way to mock him, they put a subscription over his head. It was written over him the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which railed, hanged and railed on him, which means to complain bitterly, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. This thief said, you know, I've heard what you've done, and they call you the king of the Jews. You can save us from this horrible torment and death that we're paying for here. But listen, verse 40, but the other answering, rebuking him, saying, does thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, which means wrong. This man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all it took. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, because you've been too bad, you've been a thief and you've been caught, I can't forgive you. That's not what he said. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today, not tomorrow, not wait a while, but today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let us pray. Father, I come before you right now, Lord. A broken man, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm unfit. I'm unclean. But I'm glad for the blood of Jesus, Lord, that's made us worthy. Lord, I thank you for the cross of Calvary and what it has done in my life. Lord, it's changed my life for all eternity. God, we thank you for that today. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through this message. Lord, the messenger today, Lord, speak through these stammering lips. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Should there be one here lost and undone without you, Lord, let it be today that they'll come and give their life before it's eternally too late. We'll love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to preach a message today entitled, Thanks. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, Brother Earl, I got to meet you and your precious family. I got to see God move in your family, change your family, draw them close to Him because of Calvary. Because of Calvary, I got to meet all of you guys. The Lord allowed our paths to cross and give us a precious union here in this sanctuary that's called Vickers Chapel. And it's only been because of Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, I get to stand on my feet today and proclaim the name of Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be. But someday I'll be all I can be, amen, when I get to this place that's called heaven. Thanks to Calvary, He's been so good to me, and He's been good to you. If it had not been for the cross of Calvary, there'd be no need for any of us to be here this morning. We'd be going through the motions. We'd be just putting on a show. If we'd be in ourselves, there'd be no need for nothing. But thanks to Calvary, we can sing songs of praise and lift glorious hands to Him and say, Lord, You're worthy this morning. It's all because of Calvary. It may become second nature to you. It may become a familiar story to you. It might not mean much to you anymore, but it still means everything to me this morning. Thanks to Calvary, I can be different this morning. I can have joy in my life. I can have joy in my heart. My family can be blessed, amen. It doesn't matter about the bank account. It doesn't matter about my health, amen. Long as I can lift my voice and bless His holy name. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the same anymore. Hallelujah. That ought to make you excited this morning. Thanks to Calvary, you don't have to be the person that you used to be. You don't have to live in sin anymore. Number one, I'm glad I heard about this place that's called Calvary, amen. A long time ago, I heard Romans 3:10 when I was a sinner. The Bible says, that is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As a sinner, I heard Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even as a sinner, I heard in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad He didn't stop there as a sinner. I heard about John 3:17. He said, for God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm glad I heard about this man. Amen. It changed my life forever. I told a young man this week, I was counseling him about preaching, and he said, I can't preach, I can't do it, I don't know what to do, I know God's calling, what am I going to do? And I told him, I said, when you figure out that you're not the one that's doing the preaching, that God will do the preaching, you'll surrender to what God wants in your life. He said, I'm so glad I heard a long time ago. He began to stir in me this message. When I began to talk with him, it began to stir in me a young heart wanting to follow the will of God. We got to hear something this morning. Men need to stand up and be men. Women need to stand up and be women. We need to proclaim the name of Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way that you're going to get to heaven but through and by the work of the cross of Calvary. I told a man last night, if anybody tells you there's another way, you need to rebuke it as a cult and get away from it. Jesus is the only way. I'm glad I heard that Jesus was the only way. They're preaching today that there's many ways to this place called heaven. I'm telling you today, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll get there no other way. You'll never get there if your name's on Vickers Chapel Row and you've attended this church for 50 years. If your name is on this row and you ain't never been born again, it'll never amount to nothing when it comes to Judgment Day. He'll look down that book to find out if your name's there. And when he sees your name not there, he'll say, depart from me. And you might say, Lord, wait a minute. I was a person at a church and I did great things at a church and I had my name on the church roll. Surely there's a place for me. He'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I helped build Vickers Chapel. I was an outstanding member at Vickers Chapel. People thought a lot of me at Vickers Chapel. I worked real hard at Vickers Chapel. He'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You better have your name on the roll of God. Amen. I'm glad I heard. We're going to have to hear something, church. We need to hear from God. Anybody heard from God lately? I heard from him this week. I heard from him this morning. I talked to him just a few minutes ago. I've been worshiping him for the last few minutes. I hear from God all the time. What does God sound like? If you'll get real quiet and listen, he'll speak to you, amen. He never has said, Gary. God don't speak that way. He speaks to the heart. And if you'll listen real closely, his voice will get louder and louder and louder and louder, and you'll hear exactly what he wants. I don't never hear from God. I think I'd be doing a little checking up to find out why I'm not hearing from God. Did you all realize that God is speaking to every individual in this church every single day? You're just not listening. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to do everything for you and help you in every way. But you're just not listening. That's why we can't go to the next level for God. We've not heard what he's saying. He's paid an ultimate price for you and I. We need to listen. For the next few moments of time, I'd like to do an interview with those that were at the cross of Calvary and tell you what they've got to say about this man called Jesus. Number two, if you was to talk to the centurion soldier, he may say something like this down in verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. I'm talking about a man that's a Roman soldier. He's doing his duty. He's doing what he's been hired to do. He's putting a man to death that the Roman council has put him in charge of. You've got to put this man to death. But I'll tell you what he didn't expect. He didn't expect Jesus. He thought he's hanging another thief. He thought he's hanging another blasphemer. He thought we're doing the same old thing we do every single week. But I'm going to tell you, brother, something. When Jesus passes by, he makes a difference in your life, amen. I believe he made a difference in that Roman soldier's life that day. And we could talk to him. He'll say, I'm glad I believed in him. There's something about this man that called Jesus. How about you? Have you saw him? No, I've never physically. I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Can you recall a time when you saw the Lord? I remember sitting on the back pew in a church over in Kentucky, and the Holy Spirit of God coming back in the pew and arresting me back here and getting a hold of my heart and showing me exactly who he was. He told me, Gary, you're lost and undone. You need to be born again. You need to trust me. If you'll let me in, I'll make a difference in your life. And I'll tell you one thing. I saw what had happened to my mother and my father. It made a difference in my life. And when he came by my way, I opened up the door and let him come in. I'm glad I saw the Lord. You know how I saw him? I saw him through the preached word of God. When the old-fashioned preacher stood and preached the gospel, he preached hell so hot, I thought the seat was on fire around me. I thought I could feel the flames. I felt like it, a whole world was down upon my shoulders. And I felt like if I didn't make a decision that day, that I'd die and go to hell. I believe he was calling me. I believe it was the last call. I don't know if he would have ever called again. But when he came by my way, just like the centurion soldier, he made a mark in my life. He changed my life for all eternity. And I've never been the same since. Never been the same since. Have you ever got over it? I ain't never got over it. Hope I never get over it. If I feel like I've got over it, I better get back on the altar. And talking to these young preachers, they say, oh, I get so nervous when I stand to preach. I said, praise God. If that ever leaves you, you need to sit down. Y'all don't realize that I get up here, I get so tore up, I get nervous, I don't know what to do. But I'll tell you what, when he shows up, he don't matter who's here, amen, because I'm going to honor him. The nerves go out the window when I get hooked up. Thank you, Lord, for hooking me up this morning. I'm glad he's worthy. I didn't come for you all. I come for him. I came for him. I came this morning to show you something. I'm glad I saw the Lord. But someday soon, I'm going to see him with my natural eyes. Not with these two right here. Because, see, he's going to speak, and I'm going to give an answer. I'm going to take a change. I'm going to get new eyes. And I'm going to see him for myself and nobody else. And you will too. He said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. They're going to see him one day. Those that claim to be atheists claim that they don't believe in God and all that. One day after a while, when he rolls on that cloud and comes back, they're going to say, them crazy Christians were right. I watched yesterday, the police were so, they were at alert, and I'm so thankful for Kingsport Police and all the men that were there helping protect the prayer rally, and they were standing at attention, and they were watching as we walked by and as we prayed for families and prayed for our community, prayed for our president, prayed for all these different things. They stood in attention to make sure we was all safe. Nothing was going on. But I'll tell you right now, I know the devil had his people there too. They's probably lurking in the bushes and everywhere else. But I'm glad that God's protecting hand was up on us. He kept us safe. But I wasn't worried about none of that. I just saw the Lord and all of that, and I just kept my eyes on him. And that's what you got to do. What do I do about all this stuff going on in my life? Thanks to Calvary, we don't have to worry about that stuff. What are they going to do, kill you? What are they going to do, threaten you with heaven? I mean, really. If somebody took my life right now, yes, I don't want to leave my family. I want to be here with them as long as I can, but you know what? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet the Lord. And to die is gain, amen. We ain't got to be old to die. These people dying every day that ain't old. There's people in the funeral homes right now that are not old, that have just died. You don't realize it, but the embalming fluid that may go in your veins in the morning may already be on the shelf right now. You could have put on the last pair of shoes you'll ever put on. You may have tied the last tie on a shoe that you'll ever tie. You ever thought about that? That could be today. That could happen today. But thanks to Calvary, you don't have to worry about it. If you were to leave this life today, if your sins are under the blood, you'll go to be with the Lord. Amen. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad I saw. Over in John chapter 20, verse 25, we're reminded also of somebody else that walked with the Lord. I'm talking about Thomas. In verse chapter 20 of John and 25, he says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he's just like me. He said unto them, except I see his hands, the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Doesn't that sound like me and you? Sound like me? We got to be proven a lot of times. We got to see something happen a lot of times. We got to live by faith. But look at on down in verse 27, 28. Then said he to Thomas, talking about the Lord. He showed up right in front of him. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Amen. That's the way we are. We doubt and doubt and doubt. And that's why we never see nothing happen in our life. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. We got to trust God when it don't even make sense. You're going to have to take a step of faith to trust God when there's everything around you telling you there's no way. But if God is leading you, what you need to do is take a step. I ain't even looking down, but I know there's a step under my foot. And I got faith when I step down, it's going to be there. Why? Because I've stepped on it before. And that's the way God is. He's always there when I need Him. I just take a step of faith, and He's there every single time that I need Him. And He'll do the same for you. But if you've never seen God work because you've not got that close relationship with Him, you need to be listening to what God wants in your life. Number three, I'm glad not only did I hear, not only did I saw the things that He were doing in my life and wanting to do in my life, I'm glad that I asked. You'll never get nowhere unless you ask the Lord. He said, I have a storehouse full of blessings if you'll just ask. Maybe you're asking all the wrong questions. Lord, I want a brand new vehicle, one with cherry red, you know, and something that's real pretty. Maybe I want a silver one like Brother Scott's got out there. Lord, I want one like that one. You're asking all the wrong questions. Maybe you don't need that new vehicle. Is that new vehicle going to draw you closer to God or draw you away from God? Thought about that? Oh, He wants you to have everything that you want, as long as you put Him first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's getting quiet now. Shout me on, Scott. Come on now. God wants to bless us. And don't get angry when God blesses somebody else. You should be happy God's blessing people. If you get a brand new vehicle, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I'm glad you got it, and I don't. I don't want that payment book. But praise God you got it. You know, we need to be happy for one another, not jealous. Now, if I was to sit out here and look at Brother James' vehicle and say, boy, I like that vehicle. I like to have that vehicle. You know what that's called? That's called coveting. And sometimes we'll even want to bend the truth. Lord, I want one like that, but not that one. Lord, I want one like that. So we're trying to go around it just a little bit. But we have forgotten what God is wanting to do in our lives. It ain't about possessions. I would rather have the power of God in my life than all the possessions, all the money, all the security that this world has to offer. I would rather have the power of God upon my life. Can I get a witness? Wouldn't you want to be able to look at somebody in the morning or this evening and tell them, I am walking in the perfect will of God? I want you to ask yourself that question. Don't raise hands or nothing. Are you walking in the perfect will of God? Well, you've heard about it. You saw God do great things. All you got to do is ask. Thanks to Calvary, you can do that today. If we was back under the law, it wouldn't be half of us here. Because we'd be so guilty of the law that we'd be put to death. I'll give these children one thing. Did you know that if you were an unruly child under the law, you know what they'd do? If your parents couldn't get you under control, they'd take you to the edge of the city and stone you to death. That's what they do with unruly children. I've seen some children, not in this church, but I've seen some children, I'd almost want to stone to death. I'd be like, Lord, they need a switch. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all be shouting this morning. But I've seen some children abused that shouldn't have been abused, shouldn't never been treated that way. Now that'll bring the bad side out of you quick. It will me. But we want to love children. We want to be good to children. And thanks to Calvary, we can show them the way. It's not about all that. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. We can go straight through the throne of God now, straight to the Lord, and say, Lord, here I am. He'll open things up to you. He'll hug you up, and He'll bless your life if you'll live for Him this morning. But He will not. Let me say that. He will not bless an unclean temple. You may have me fooled. You may have this church fooled. But you ain't got God fooled. He knows what's going on in your life. In verse 42, and He said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Here we see the thief on the cross. If we could interview him, he'd say, thanks to Calvary, I ask. And because I asked and believed, I received, and now I'm with the Lord. Someday you and I will get to heaven and we'll get to ask that thief, what was it like? What was it like that day when you were hanging on the cross and you looked over and asked the Lord to remember you? Did it happen just that way? He'll say, it happened just that way. The moment I drawed my last breath, I was with Him. Won't that be good? We've not talked to anybody that's went on yet. But when we get over there, we'll say, what was it like? And he'll say, oh, you remember, everybody was so sad, but I was looking straight into heaven, and the Lord came and got me, and it's been wonderful ever since. You and I have to grieve when we go on, when our loved ones move on, and it's hard. I'm telling you it's hard. But if we could just see what they could see and see what they're going through and the things they're experiencing, how happy they are, thanks to Calvary, that's why they're there. Amen. That ought to bring you comfort this morning to know that. And I want to tell you a verse that never gets old. I was glad to hear over 2,000 people quote this very scripture yesterday. John 3:16, when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I asked the Lord when I heard that. I asked him into my life. Romans 10:9, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, he said, you will be saved. Then he goes on down in Romans 10:10, and he said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How? Thanks to Calvary. That's how this morning. That's how. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thanks to Calvary. It has made a difference in my life. Brother Brian, it's made a difference in your life, in your family's life. It's made a difference in, I could go through every family in this church. It's made a difference in your life. If it hasn't made a difference, you need to come and make a difference this morning. Come and let it make that difference in your life. Come and let it do something to you. Let it move within you. Let Christ start a new chapter in your life, that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you need to do this morning. You don't need to put it off. You don't need to wait. You don't need to say, I'll do it tomorrow. Let somebody else step up. Let somebody else do it. It'll be some other time. He said, ask and thou shalt receive. Church, I want to see God move in every individual in this church here today. I pray for you earnestly. I pray for your families, and I pray for your needs and what's going on in your life. I spend time in my office, and I think about your children and your wives and your husbands and all that is in contact with you, and I ask God to help you. But I'm asking you this morning to look over your life right now, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.